Revelation 14, verses 6 through 13, this is reading of God's Word. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters." And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh, Father, we pray that you will bless your people. Let us hear your voice through your word. And because we hear your word, let our faith grow. And with that growing faith, let us be able to witness Jesus Christ and his kingdom, our kingdom. Oh, Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and your word will be understood by all of us correctly, that we may hear your word and believe and obey. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We will look at these verses today and next Lord's Day. Yes, we've been looking at the church, how church lives her life in this world. The church of Christ faced many tribulations, persecutions, sufferings, and even death in this world. But the Bible shows us that the church of Christ has another reality, the spiritual reality, the heavenly reality, the eternal reality. And we saw that reality in chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. And when we look at that heavenly reality, our salvation reality, we are very clear that that salvation is accomplished by Christ and him alone. The church, the salvation, the heaven are not something that we make or we create. God alone accomplishes them. Thus, all glory is due to God and him alone. There is no boasting for us in Christianity. Thus, only voice that we hear from the Church of Christ is the voice of beautiful praise of God, not arrogant words of the beast that we see in chapter 13, verse 5. Some churches are full of their boastings. They boast about what they have done and have accomplished. And some Christians are the same way. When you talk to them, it's all about what they have accomplished. It is wrong. Only boasting the Church of Christ has is Christ. And that's it. Christ and Him alone. We are His church, called to trust, believe, and obey. We are called to trust, believe, and obey. But some people think that they're far better than who they really are. They think they are the ones who accomplish these things. But brothers and sisters, remember, even in obeying, we are not able to do that perfectly. So don't think about you accomplishing something to give it to the Lord. Concentrate on obeying Him. Because you cannot accomplish anything that is worth, you know, your eternal life on your own strength, on your own ability. Yes, you could do a lot of things in this world. Even non-believers are able to do certain things. But when it comes to eternal life, they're nothing. Remember, brothers and sisters, we are called to obey. And this is a very important point that you must realize and understand. So we are called to trust, believe, and obey, and participate in the heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has alone accomplished. That is our call. Now, from verses 6 through 11 that we are looking at today, we see three angels speaking. The first angel, verse 6 and 7. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters." Here, we see the first angel. And it says that the first angel has an eternal gospel to preach. In fact, when you read the whole passage, all of the messages of all three angels are the same message. It is the gospel that the Church of God preaches. The eternal gospel. And the book of Revelation teaches us what is the content of that eternal gospel. See, when we say we preach the gospel, we must preach the gospel that the Bible says what gospel is. We don't make up the contents of the gospel. We do not create those. Because God has given us that content. The gospel means what? The good news. Good news. But when you read all three messages from three angels, they sound very strange. They do not sound like that they are good news. All of them speak of God's coming judgment. The first angel, having an eternal gospel to preach, and his message was, fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. The second angel, verse 8, and another angel, a second one, followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Babylon, the symbol of this world. The second angel's message is that the world is fallen. The Babylon is fallen. The world is destroyed. And the third angel, verses 9 through 11, then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. The third angel speaks of the eternal punishment of hell. So, it's very strange to today's people's ears. Eternal gospel. Eternal good news of God, according to Revelation 14, is what? That this sinful world will be completely destroyed and the non-believers will be judged forever in hell. Of course, it is not comprehensive. Eternal gospel has more than just this, but an important part of the gospel indeed. The biblical gospel is not about living healthy and wealthy in this world. Nowhere in the Bible teaches that. It's very strange because the Bible says the gospel is about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And it's about the complete, the falling of this world and eternal punishment of those who do not believe. It's never about living healthy and wealthy in this world. But see, today's Christians, so to speak, their understanding of the gospel is exactly that. It's about being well and healthy and wealthy in this world. You must listen to what the Bible says. The eternal gospel is about coming judgment of God upon this world and the people who belong to this sinful world. Now, this message is what the world hates the most. They hate this. I mean, obviously. It's about them receiving God's judgment, eternal judgment in hell. They would say, how can a loving God punish and torment people forever just because they did not believe and worship Him? I thought God is love. How can loving God torment people forever? But they just do not know our God, do they? Yes, God is love, but He is also just and righteous. He must punish sin. I mean, let's say you know a judge in this world, and he's judging, and a murderer came to him, and all of a sudden, this judge says to that murderer, he says, it's okay. I guess, you know, sometimes you just have to kill a man. It's okay, I forgive you. And let him go. Is he a righteous judge? You will not say he is. Because a righteous judge has to punish the sin. And God has to punish sin. And you might say, the punishment is just far greater than what the sin actually deserves. Because we're talking eternal torment forever and ever. And you might think, wait, you know, okay, we sin, but the punishment is just too much compared to the sin that we commit. Reason why you might say that is that you do not understand who God is. Let me give you an example. And, you know, I don't like to give examples because examples always come short of explaining what I want to say or what the Bible actually says. But let's say I hit my son, bam, on his head. And I turn around and now I hit President Obama on his head, bang. Now, when you see that, my action, hitting my son and hitting President Obama, is the same action. The same thing. I did the same thing to those two people. And yet, consequences will not be the same. Because when I hit my son, well, nobody's going to say anything. Well, except him. He might say, oh, why are you hitting me or whatever. But if I hit President Obama, I'm going to go to jail. And I'm going to complain. Why? Why the same action but different consequences? It all depends on to whom you are doing that. To whom you are sinning against. Yes. We're sinning against God. So even the little sin you think of nothing of, when you do that to God, it becomes very serious. If you truly understand who God is, you know you deserve the just punishment that God says in His book that He will judge those people with. See, we think of our sins so lightly. That's our problem. But God does not think it lightly. Look at what God has done because of your sin. He killed his own son. God died because of your sin. The sin that you take it so lightly, sin that you think nothing of, it killed God. That's how serious your sin is. But you don't think so. That's why you say things like, you know, eternal torment compared to my sin, that is too much. See, this is the thing. When you see a murderer, and let's say he committed a serious crime, and he gets a death sentence. And you know, you look at that and say, you say to yourself, yes, he deserves it. And you truly believe that he deserves it. Why? Because you understand how serious what he has committed, that sin that he has committed is. So you understand that death sentence is what he deserves. But you don't think your sin against God is serious. That's why you don't think that sinners deserve eternal death. But again, if you truly understand who God is and what you are doing when you sin, you will say you deserve. Every sinner deserves eternal death, eternal torment. This is how serious our sin is. Yes, teaching of hell is very unpopular, and it is disappeared in the churches. You don't hear about hell anymore. But it is clearly taught by the Bible. And I will show you next Lord's Day that Jesus spoke of hell so many times. He taught about hell so many times. So it's not just a couple verses in the Bible that speak of hell, but it's many, many, many passages that deal with hell. Yes, we are called to preach what the Bible teaches, even though it might not be popular to this world today. The fact is, if you don't believe, you go to hell. Whether you accept that or not, or believe that or not, that is what the Bible says. Verse 12, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Yes, Christians, we go through sufferings and persecutions in this world, even death, to follow Jesus Christ. But persevere. Why? Because following the world is worse. Not only is worse, if you truly understand the gospel, suffering here on earth is actually glory. You understand the gospel. And that gospel, your understanding, your faith in that gospel will enable you to persevere. Because you understand clearly what is really happening. Yes, this world, you look at it and you see all these rich people and these successful people and you think that they have everything. No, they don't. Judgment is coming. They don't have it better than you. Actually, what you have is far greater. It's not even, you know, comparison. Here is the perseverance of saints. Yes, in this world, the saints will go through suffering and persecutions and even death. But they cannot hope in this world and they cannot follow this world. Because it's all lie. It's lies of Satan. The truth is that this world is fallen. And is falling. And one day it will be completely destroyed. The only hope is Jesus Christ and the new world that He has accomplished for His people. Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Heaven. Thus, do you remember Jesus' first message? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, don't be deceived. This world is already fallen and is falling away. And one day it will be completely destroyed. If you are living your life seeking the things of the world, you're going to be so disappointed because everything will be gone. That's the content of the gospel. And you might even be sad hearing that this world will be destroyed. But throughout the redemptive history, God's people's salvation is always God's enemies' destruction. Noah's salvation came with the destruction of the whole world by the flood. Israel's salvation is same thing as destruction of Egypt. So God's people's salvation, true salvation, is equal to complete destruction of this world. Do you see it? It's the same thing. It is the good news. If you believe the gospel. Why, let's say, you know, I'll give you another example. Let's say, you know, two countries is at war. And that's what the Bible describes what is going on today. Spiritual war. Heaven and this world, we are at war. Now, why would you be sad when you see your enemy being destroyed? And that's what we're doing if we're sad, because this world will be destroyed. Of course, until that day that Jesus comes back, we are to love everyone. Because we don't know who is chosen or who is not. We don't know who is going to be our brother and our sister in Jesus Christ. So we are called to love everyone. But when that day comes, when Jesus appears again, we will know clearly who is our brothers and our sisters and who is not.
And that day on, we don't feel sorry for those who went to hell. No, they are our enemies. They're enemies of God. But again, until that day, we are called to love because we just don't know who they are, whether they are chosen or not. Yes, it's a hard message. Very unpopular message. But it's the truth. Verse 7, fear God and give Him glory. The sinful world does not fear God. But in fact, the people who belong to this world are worshiping the Satan and his beasts. They don't know it, and they will not admit it. They live according to the patterns of this sinful world, according to the patterns of 666. We saw this already. Their life is centered on this world and this world only. They're all about here and now. That's the only thing they care. Here and now. So when we talk about heaven, they're not interested. That's just, you know, whatever. What they're interested is here and now. How am I going to live here? How much I'm going to have right here on earth? That's all they care about. That's the spirit of 666. That is those who have received the mark of the beast. That's how they live. Yeah, it sounds like even in the church, heaven is boring. They don't care. But the gospel is all about heaven. It's about eternal life. And that eternal life is not eternal life here on earth. Eternal life is eternal life in heaven. And that is what Jesus has accomplished for us. Verse 8 says, Fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. The world is fallen, a past tense. Yes, in one sense, the world is already fallen, but is still falling. And one day when our Lord Jesus returns, it will be completely destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteous dwells. Brothers and sisters, you and I have no relationship with this world anymore. Yes, we still live here, but only for a little while. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world which persecuted the church, the world which mocked and ridiculed the church, is fallen, and is falling, and one day it will be completely destroyed. Verse 9b, if anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead on his hand. Anyone who lives according to the spirit of 666, this world-centered and man-centered, then what will happen? Verse 10, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And verse 11, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. The eternal punishment of hell, God's holy and righteous judgment. We must not treat our sins against God lightly. Wine of the wrath of God. And he says, full strength, not diluted with water, but full strength, very strong. It shows the complete and perfect judgment of God. Full strength of eternal wrath of God. Psalm 75 verse 8, for a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. This is what will happen to non-believers. But, brothers and sisters, you are different. You are the saints who persevere. You are the ones who keep the commandments of God in Jesus Christ and keep your faith in Jesus through the grace of God. For us, verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Two groups of people, two destinies. One, hell without rest, no rest day and night. The other, heaven with eternal rest. No, resting is not just you sleeping, you know, forever and ever in heaven. No, you rest from the world. You rest from sin. There's no world in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. It's complete joy, perfect relationship with God forever and ever. We'll talk about these things next time. But let me end with this. Brothers and sisters, in this world we have tribulation, but in heaven, eternal rest. You and I have been saved in Jesus Christ. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Let me read it to you. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Now who could describe what Christ has done in many, many ways. But one way to describe it is that he rescued us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the question is this. Then, why don't we who are in Christ don't have to drink the cup of God's wrath? That's the question. Are we any better than non-Christians? That's not what the Bible teaches us. We deserve the same punishment that the non-Christians will receive. We're not any better than them. Actually, in many cases, even when I look at my own self, we're worse than non-Christians. But the Bible says that only non-Christians will receive the cup of God's wrath. Why not? Why not us?
Luke chapter 22. Let us go there together. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. This is Jesus praying at the Mount Gethsemane. He says in verse 42, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. This is right before his death on the cross. He asks, let this cup be removed from me. But not by my will, but by thine.
John chapter 18. Verse 11. This is when Roman soldiers came to capture Jesus Christ, verse 11. So Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Do you see it, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Jesus on the cross drank the cup of God's wrath for us in our places. It's not that Christians are any better than non-Christians. We all deserve to drink the cup of God's wrath, eternal wrath. Tormented day and night, forever and ever. We all deserve it. But the difference is that Jesus Christ, in your place, drank that cup of God's wrath for you. Every drop of it for you. That's what had happened on that cross when he died on that cross. He bore our sins and on the cross received the eternal judgment of God for us in our places. He received it all. He had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you will see next week that in hell it is described that, you remember that rich man and Lazarus? Rich man in hell calls out, just have Lazarus dip in his finger in the water so that he could give me, you know, one drop of water. On the cross, Jesus cried out, I'm thirsty. Do you see him experiencing hell for you? He is drinking the cup of God's wrath for you. He died for us. See how grave and serious our sins are. Do you understand the gospel? The gospel says the judgment of God is coming. And we all deserve God's judgment. Everything will be destroyed, including sinners who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Only reason that Christians are not receiving this cup of God's wrath is that Jesus has drank it for us. If you believe, then you can be assured that that is what Jesus has done for you. Now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, In Jesus Christ our Lord, we do not receive the cup of God's wrath any longer, but now the cup of God's blessing. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27b through 28, during the Last Supper, Jesus gave a cup to his disciples and said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Now the cup that we receive from God in Jesus Christ is no longer cup of God's wrath, but it is the cup of His blessing, the cup of the forgiveness of sins, the cup of fellowship, and the cup of salvation. In heaven, we will sit with Christ around His table and drink together. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the gospel also tells us that it is our present spiritual reality. Spiritually, we are already drinking the cup of blessing, the cup of forgiveness of our sins, the cup of fellowship with God, the cup of salvation. Because of Jesus and what He has done for you, what we read in our passage, even though we deserve everything in it, all these things has nothing to do with you anymore. Because Jesus, He received the wrath of God for you. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see this. I want you to see how you have received the cup of joy from God, and that cup overflows. Psalm 23, verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." Yes, you also have received a cup from God, but it is not filled with the wrath of God. It's overflowing with joy of heaven, overflowing with peace of heaven, overflowing with grace of God, overflowing with the love of God. This is your eternal reality in Jesus Christ. If there's anyone out there who still don't know our Lord, listen to what the gospel says to you. Believe Jesus Christ. He's your only hope. But once you believe, you have God as your eternal inheritance. And He will give you the cup of salvation, overflowing with joy and gladness. That's why we are able to sit here today. Even though we know we have sinned, even though we have sinned so much, we rejoice nevertheless because of Christ, because of what He has done for us. We are here to worship Him, praise His holy name. For He alone has accomplished our salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your grace upon Your people. Yes, we deserve every drop of the wrath of God. But Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ in our places received every drop of the wrath of God, so that in him, only cup that we receive from you is not some cup that we wish that it will pass us by, but it is cup of joy, cup of salvation, cup of forgiveness of sins. Oh Father, our cup overflows. We thank you, God, and we love you. Strengthen us in our faith that we may be faithful to you until death. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.